Does Monday at the office feel like a storm? Not with Microsoft Copilot. That feeling when Copilot gets everyone up to speed instantly? It's sunny again. When Copilot simplifies complex data so your teams can act, that sun's shining on a beach. And when Copilot uncovers hidden insights, you're on that beach with your people and you find buried treasure. That's Microsoft Copilot. Learn more at Microsoft.com/AI for all.
Getting engaged is a moment worth cherishing. A one-of-a-kind ring that you design at Blue Nile can help your love sparkle. Just choose your diamond and setting. When you've found the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Finding the right engagement ring can be nerve-wracking. At Blue Nile, you'll have the expert guidance needed and a diamond guarantee that ensures you're getting the highest quality at the best price. Cherish all of life's moments and save up to 30% at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Good evening and welcome to this episode of the Full Press Raiders podcast. When you're listening to this, you're about, say, 24 hours from the 2021 NFL Draft. I'm Terrence Biggs. With me, you know him, one of the best draft minds and tape minds, football minds, social media, our guy Ryan Holmes. Good evening, Ryan. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on. I'm pretty excited to see what transpires here on Thursday.
Man, I got questions, and you always have answers. So the first thing I want to ask you is this. What's more likely, the Raiders trading down or reaching?
I'm going to say trading down is more likely. I think with the holes they have at right tackle as well as at safety, there's a good opportunity to trade down, acquire more picks, and still fill one of those holes. And I think they're going to have to trade back up in round two to fill the other hole, depending on who they take first. So I'm going to lean they're more likely to trade down.
Now, so far, what is the weirdest speculation regarding a draft prospect that the Raiders might pick and where they might be picked that you've heard recently?
I'm going to say Justin Fields to the Raiders. I've seen that a lot the last, like, 2 days, that John Gruden wants to trade up if he starts falling and go after him. As much as I'd love a new quarterback under center for the Las Vegas Raiders, I just don't see that happening. They have too many holes they have to address along the offensive line and defensive side of the ball to give away assets at this point to take a quarterback who won't play this year.
I saw someone tweet about Andre Sisco being the Raiders' first-round draft pick. Now,
that's interesting.
Here's the thing. We see wildness, and the rationale was, well, you know, he played one high safety and he knows what he's doing. Nothing about the fact that, what, four other safeties could possibly be picked before him, at least?
Yeah, and he's coming off an injury, too.
And it just, the attachment to certain players that certain draft folks get is weird to me. Conversely, yeah, the detachment that certain folks get. I saw Justin Fields mock 32nd.
I did see that as well.
And neither one of us are the offspring of NFL quarterbacks, but this particular one that mocked this nonsense should know better, and it's just pretty much for clicks at this point. Now, as we skip over that, and let's talk about who do you think will be falling, who can fall to the Raiders in this draft? It doesn't have to be the first round. It could be any round.
That's going to be an interesting question. I think the big mystery in the draft coming up on Thursday is we don't know the medical on any of these players. And a lot of the teams, it sounds like, are just finding out stuff as it's trickling in the days leading up. So there's going to be decisions made on players with very limited medical data. There's going to be guys falling that we don't expect to fall based on medical data that us as the general public don't know, and we're going to be start questioning why is this guy falling. I'm going to say Caleb Farley is a guy who might fall to the back end of the first round or even out of the first round. That's a scary back injury. I'm just seeing some of the details on that. So I'm going to say Caleb Farley is most likely to be a guy who's going to fall to the bottom or even out of the first round just based on some of the medical information that's trickling out.
Now, here's the wild part for me. I look at people falling. I know that the Raiders, you know, they have holes everywhere on defense, everywhere. They don't really have a – and Farley, his injury is kind of scary. And people are saying that because Micah Parsons might have some character concerns that he might drop. If he's anywhere near 17, do the Raiders make that pick?
I don't think they do. I think within the Gus Bradley scheme and what he's going to ask from the linebackers, which is basically hold up in the run game, play a couple of simple coverages, drop in the flat, hook curl, zone responsibilities. They're not going to ask the linebackers to blitz. I like Micah Parsons as a prospect. I don't think this is the style of defense he needs to be in. It's not going to be an aggressive downhill attacking defense. So, like I said, as much as I like him, I just don't think that he's a fit for what the Raiders want to do, and they're not going to unleash his full potential in this scheme.
I agree. Same for Jeremiah Karamoah from Notre Dame, and people are like, oh, he can play that a roving safe. No, we're not going to start converting folks in the first round. It's just no, just no, no, just no, just this draft is the most important draft in Mike Mayock's tenure. He's had a few of these now, and this is more of the, even though we know who's calling these shots, this needs to go right for Mike Mayock. It needs to go right. It must go right. When you look at him, how do you see the pressure upon him mounting with this draft, even though it's pretty much Gruden calling shots?
Well, I'll give you a two-part answer. I'll touch on the Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. That's another rumor that I saw late this afternoon. The Raiders are locked in. They think he's a free safety. And for me, moving a guy who's, you know, he's an off-the-ball linebacker, he's going to fit in a will position, but to ask him to be a full-time free safety, given his size, he could probably do it. He doesn't have the speed. He didn't run the 40 at his pro day. The closest time I could find do my research is a 4.61. Which is good. It's not great. It's not what you're looking for in a cover three free safety. And to ask him to have those kind of responsibilities and then obviously drop down as a box safety on third down, like they don't need that. So drafting him, they would leave him at the will linebacker and they'd have to fill the safety position elsewhere. And on Mike Mayock, he's the next guy to fall. We've talked about this. If the Raiders don't make the playoffs in 2021, it's not going to be John Gruden and it's not going to be Gus Bradley. They're falling on the sword. The next guy to fall is going to be Mike Mayock. So he has to hit a home run. He needs to, we'll use a golf terminology, he just needs to hit this down the middle, keep it in the fairway. Don't try to swing too big. Just fill those holes with good, competent players that know how to play the specific positions and are scheme fits and try to make the playoffs. That's basically what he has to do. There can't be any wild misses with one of these first. I think they have four picks in the top 100. They have to all be safe starters on this team.
Now, when we come back from break, I want to talk about the Raiders draft approach. You are listening to the Full Press Raiders podcast on the FPC Radio Network.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
We are back with the Full Press Raiders podcast. Terrence Biggs, Ryan Holmes, Ryan. You are a long-term fan of the Raiders, as we have followed this team for the longest time. Is this the most unathletic this defense has been?
I don't know if it's the most unathletic. They've had some pretty bad defenses, but I'm going to say it's one of the probably the bottom. Let's go back to John Gruden's first tenure, so the last 20 years, give or take. It's probably one of the bottom five out of those 20 years. They need to get more speed on this defense. Corey Littleton was supposed to do that. He can do that this year. They need speed at free safety. Both the cornerbacks they have are good. They're not great in terms of speed and off the edge. They don't have a lot of speed off the edge. So this team lacks playmakers on defense. They don't have that alpha male right now. It could be John Abram. He's just way too wild and plays out of control. But they do need to add speed and athleticism to all three levels of the defense.
I mean, I guess we go back to the days of Al, where Al had speed everywhere. The team wasn't good a lot of the time, but he had speed. This team is just, it's strange to watch Raiders defenders get left. Like, I know that we became accustomed to it with Eric Harris being toasted all the time, but it's odd. And do they really have the fourth best defense in the AFC West?
Oh, clearly. I believe they do. The Chargers have a good defense. The Broncos have a good defense. Kansas City, while although statistically is not a great defense, they make timely turnovers. They have two pass rushers in Clark and Jones, and then they have a playmaker on the back end in the Honey Badger and Tyrann Mathieu. The Raiders don't have any of that. So they clearly have the fourth best defense. And your point about Al, I'll date myself. I remember the days of, you know, Willie Gault, James Jett, James Lofton running down the field, Ron Brown, an Olympic sprinter returning kick. So they've always had speed. Yeah, Sam Grady, Alvis Whitted, another one. We're going back to the 80s and early 90s. But even on defense, they had guys that could run. James Trapp as a guy immediately comes to mind. He could run. Terry McDaniel could run. So they've had guys on the back end that had speed as well that were track athletes.
In your life, outside of the obvious, which would be Jamarcus Russell, but and what was the worst Raiders draft pick that you can remember?
Well, the first one that comes to mind was 1998, Matt Stinchcomb out of Georgia. I hated that pick at the time. I did not want him to go that route, and John Gruden took Matt Stinchcomb, and it did not work out for the Raiders. So that one immediately comes right to mind. Nick Bell is another one.
Oh,
it comes to mind. I believe he was a second rounder. I wasn't
from
on that
Iowa
one at the time, but yeah, those two immediately come to mind.
I got one. Patrick Bates. He kind of falls into that that abyss of like the early to mid 90s of the Raiders will still make the playoffs, and you know Al still had all that collateral of winning still on him, so he could flub a few. Patrick Bates just never did anything worth a damn. He was a safety out of Texas A&M. Just blah.
He knocked out Jerome Bettis in the bowl game. That's all I remember, and then that was the end of his career once he got to the NFL. And Derek Gibson was in that same mold.
Oh, yes. Oh my. But no, when we spin towards this one, how do you think John Gruden has avoided drafting a quarterback in his first couple of years in Oakland? Like, he's refrained.
I think it goes back to the fact that they've had needs. Every draft they've gone into, they've had glaring needs at different positions. And John Gruden has drafted for need in the first and second round, and in all three of his drafts up to this point, where quarterback, he felt fairly safe with Derek Carr, and there wasn't really any that fell to them, that fell in their laps, that they could have taken at the time. And he hasn't taken one late because he's trying to fill holes on this defense. He's tried to remake this roster two or three times in his 4 years, just turning over contracts. And I don't expect this year to be another one, unless there's a quarterback that he's fallen in love with later in the draft, you know, third, fourth round. I don't see the Raiders taking a quarterback in this draft, but John Gruden has put himself in a position where he's had to reach, which he has with Ruggs a little bit, with Arnett. I'd say Colton Miller at the time was a reach, but that one turned out good for him. But he's reached for most of the picks. Cleveland Farrell was a reach, clearly. At the time, you could argue John Abraham with a slight reach, although he was supposed to go somewhere back into the first round or early second round. But the Raiders have had too many holes going into these drafts where they can't add depth to the team at certain positions. They just have to try to fill holes and hope those guys can step in and play. And we're in the same situation this year. They need a right tackle. They need a starting free safety. They could use a slot corner. They could use some interior linemen. And knowing John Gruden, he'll pick a tight end at some point in this draft too.
And that boggles my mind because Foster Moreau, like, whose Cheerios did he pee in?
That's a great question. We talked about that every week during the season. And I think they like Foster Moreau as a prospect. I don't understand, and we've talked about the Jason Witten thing ad nauseum, but I think Moreau is going to get a lot of snaps in line. But I think, you know, without the big X receiver still in this roster, Darren Waller is going to be split out wide quite a bit this year, so they're going to need another capable in-line blocking tight end, and that's not Derek Carrier. That's not what he's on the roster for. So outside of Foster Moreau, they don't have another one. So I think John Gruden's going to try to find one at some point, whether that's the fourth, fifth, sixth round.
Personally, when I look at the draft, there are a few prospects. Like we talked about underrated guys, but one of the guys that, I don't know, like, it's something that he has a Tom Cable vibe, other than Tevin Jenkins, is Spencer Brown out of Northern Iowa. Taller than I kind of like as a tackle, but Colton Miller is also tall, and he kind of has that similar vibe. If you watch film on Spencer Brown, what was your take?
Very athletic, big guy, 6'8". He can really move. He'll be good if the Raiders want to go to the outside zone scheme. Needs to add some strength to the frame, has some technical things he needs to clean up. He's basically what Colton Miller was coming out of UCLA. You're projecting a year or two out with added strength on the body, a guy that can really move, a guy that can play and get out in these zone schemes and hold up with added strength. So that if you ask him to play year one, he's going to struggle a little bit with power rushers. But moving over to the right side, he's going to face quite a bit of those. So you're going to have to help him a little bit. But there's tremendous upside in Spencer Brown. I truly believe he is a target of the Raiders in the second round. Just Tom Cable loves those long, athletic guys that have 34, 35-inch arms that can move. Brandon Parker fell into that category from a small school in North Carolina, A&T. That one didn't work out. Colton Miller did. But I wouldn't be shocked if Spencer Brown ends up in a Raiders uniform come Friday.
Now, if they do draft Spencer Brown, do you think they will pick up a veteran of a waiver wire to act as a stopgap?
I would hope so. Someone, you know, not Sam Young did the best he could last year. He was injured a lot, but someone along that line, kind of a lower tier guy that can step in and be serviceable for a few weeks if Brown's not ready to go. Maybe, you know, if they really want to get after maybe a Rick Wagner type who was with Green Bay and Detroit that could step in and play 16 games if you need to. There's going to be options for veteran right tackles on a one-year deal that the Raiders can go out and get. I would lean that route no matter who I get here, even if it's Tevin Jenkins in the first round or Christian Darrisaw. To count on those guys to play 17 games right out of the gate, we don't know what training camp's going to look like, if they're even going to have one, or if it's going to be all virtual. So I do expect at some point a veteran right tackle will be coming aboard to be a stopgap for whoever they pick. But they absolutely need to get a tackle in this draft that can step in either this season or be that swing tackle, because Brandon Parker, they can't count on him. I don't think that he's going to hold up at right tackle for any length of time.
Who's the one guy, the under the radar guy, that you see few people talking about that would be a perfect fit at any point in the draft for the Raiders?
I still think it's Jalen Tywin, the defensive tackle out of Pittsburgh. Kind of heard his name early in the process. Haven't heard a lot from him lately. He had a pretty good pro day. He had some linemen around him with Weaver and Jones that have gotten some attention. But, you know, an interior guy that can hold up against the run, a guy that can be on this roster and can be groomed for a year. All their defensive tackles are on one-year deals. So he's got an opportunity if they take a guy like him in the third round to get some snaps this year and then walk into a starting role next year. I still like Davion Nixon. He's another guy that we haven't heard a lot of. We heard a lot about him probably November, going into December, and he's kind of disappeared. So if Davion Nixon is sitting there in the third round at pick 79 or 80, he would be a great pick. But I think the Raiders can address the interior of that defensive line with one of those two picks. They're going to have a chance. I'm just thinking of guys off the top of my head. I don't think that Onwuzurike is going to be there in the third round, but you're going to have your choice of Tommy Togia from Ohio State, Bobby Brown, Osoa Odiga, Azua, I think is how you say it, at UCLA, mm-hmm. Marvin Wilson, Davion Nixon, Tyler Shelvin, Marlon Tui Pualotu, Jay Tuafeli. There's going to be plenty of guys. So there's going to be a defensive tackle the Raiders can get with one of those third-round picks or even in the fourth round and have a chance to be a starter on this team in 2022.
There's a guy out of Iowa State, and I need to get his name right, Kenny Nwangwu, running back. Now, the Raiders are set with Josh Jacobs. They paid Kenyon Drake a whole lot of money. There's Jalen Richard and Theo Riddick. They can really upgrade from those two. Now, Nwangwu is a bigger back, well, bigger than the both of them. He's like 6'1", 6'2", and 210. Excellent athlete, special teamer, where I think he had something like 293 touches, one fumble on a kickoff. That's it. No fumbles as a running back. He's big. He has that third gear. We've talked ad nauseum, as you mentioned, about the Raiders' lack of explosion in the run game. He would be a third guy, not so much a third down back, but he would be like the third running back, mid-round guy. I could see it. I mean, I would hope to see it in. He could give you kick returns that they desperately need, and you could keep Hunter Renfro on punt returns. Are there any athletes at the bottom of this draft you're like, huh, small guy or small school guy, but just pure athlete that the Raiders desperately lack?
I like the UCLA guy, Demetric Felton. I know he's not a small school guy per se, coming from the Pac-12, but had a really good week at the Senior Bowl. He can play running back. He can play in the slot. He had a really good week catching the ball. He's dynamic on special teams. You could probably get him in the fourth or fifth round, a guy that can really run. And like you mentioned, like kick returning. How many times do we need to see Jalen Richard standing in the end zone, catching the ball and taking a knee and not even bringing it out? And he doesn't play on punt returns. He doesn't do much on kick coverage. He's kind of just a designated guy to catch the kickoff and take a knee and then come in on third down, where he has value as a pass protector, but you don't need that anymore with Kenyon Drake on this roster. So I fully expect the Raiders at some point to take a dynamic athlete running back, as you mentioned, but he's got to be able to play special teams, a guy that can cover kicks, the guy can get down and on punt coverage as well, and then offer something in the return game, or even, you know, get Hunter Renfro out of there if you need to, if you have a guy that's really good at it. But Demetric Felton would be my guy.
Now, when you see this, and What do you think the chances are the Raiders get this right? I know it's too early to tell when drafts because it takes a couple of years to kind of see where players are, but gut feeling, do they get this draft correct as far as not reaching and doing anything Tanner Muse-like or trading a third-round pick and Lynn Bowden that never played a down?
The optimist in me is going to say yes, because I hope that Mike Mayock and John Gruden learned their lesson last year. Using valuable resources, third-round picks, who Mike Mayock was quoted as saying, these are starters on Tanner Muse and Lynn Bowden Jr., who we know combined played zero snaps for the Raiders last season. So they do have holes they have to fill, so I think they will. The good thing is the board's going to line up and give them an opportunity to fill those holes early in the draft with quality players. And like I said, they just need to tee it up and hit it down the fairway. Don't do anything crazy. If they want to move around a little bit, great. And, you know, I could definitely see him moving down out of 17 to get assets to move up from 48. Richie Grant's my guy, and I want to see him in a Raiders uniform. I think they're going to have to either trade down and take him at the back end of the first round or trade up into the top of the second round. I don't think he makes it to 48 at this point.
Last question. Who do you see as the one guy the Raiders should run away from, never, ever, ever contemplate drafting him?
I've been pretty vocal on this one, and I hope he proves me wrong because I never want to say anything bad about particular players. But Christian Barrymore out of Alabama, I don't see the appeal. I see a guy who has a swim move. He's got one move on the interior. It's one season of production. Most of those sacks came towards the end of last year. He was playing on a very talented Alabama line. When linemen got their hands on him, he didn't do much to get away from them, and he didn't really show up in the run game. So I think the Alabama logo on the side of his head and then just – or his helmet and then the couple of sacks he got in the playoffs have shot him up the board, and just the lack of defensive interior linemen in this draft. This draft had a normal – amount of depth on the defensive interior. I think we're talking about him as a second rounder and not a mid first rounder. So I hope he's not the pick at 17. But if he is, I'll have to learn to like him and wish the best career for him moving forward.
I know we talked about the Raiders not picking a quarterback anytime, but one of the guys, even if he falls, I have watched Alabama film for the longest time. What am I missing about Mac Jones that everyone seems to love?
I think Mac Jones has a chance to be somewhere in the Kirk Cousins, Derek Carr mold, you know, somewhere with everything around him is good enough, somewhere in the 10 to 15 range in the NFL, which is not a bad thing. That's a guy that can go in and play, and if everything's right, you know, compete and get to the playoffs. It's not that I don't like him as a player. I don't like the fact that they traded from 12 to 3 and gave up 3 first-round picks to get him. My question would be, they've identified him as their guy, but who else, assuming there's not a team below them, whether that's Washington or New England, was going to go up into the top 5 or 6 and get him? Why didn't they stay at 12, wait till the day of the draft? Maybe you only have to trade up to 7, 8, or 9 to get him, and now we're talking about giving up 1 or 2 first-round picks and not 3. I think there's a chance he wouldn't have gone in the top 10 if they didn't trade up to 3. So good for them for identifying who they wanted and being aggressive, but Kyle Shanahan's basically making his bed with this pick if that's who he goes with. I'm on record as saying I would take Justin Fields. But I just don't see a dynamic athlete that's going to make plays outside the pocket when things break down. Protection doesn't hold up. Mike McGlinchey's still the right tackle on that team. So he is going to have some pressure coming at him. I don't see a guy that is going to run that outside zone scheme and be able to bootleg as effectively as some of these other quarterbacks. Now, is he going to read the defense and make the right pre-snap reads and get the ball to the right guys? I think so. But we've seen a lot of quarterbacks come out of these powerhouse programs that have dynamic athletes across the board. Look what happened with Tua last year. He didn't show much in Miami. We can go back to Ken Dorsey, Gino Toretta, Matt Leiner, Matt Barkley. I can give you all these quarterbacks that were supposed to be the next coming that had elite guys at the skill position players that just didn't turn out to anything in the NFL. I'm not saying Mac Jones is going to be that, but it's hard to judge him when he has Devontae Smith and Jalen Waddle and all the freshman wide receivers they have there. They have Najee Harris, the backup running back Robinson was good, and he's got an all-pro offensive line. So we're going to learn a lot about him pretty quickly in the NFL.
These are my exact thoughts. I just don't like just – the talent definitely changes it, like your perception. How can people interact with you on social media?
They can reach out to me. Twitter handle is at rholm22, R-H-O-L-M-22. Shoot me some questions if you want. I'm sure I'll have some comments after each one of the Raiders picks Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and then probably a draft recap afterwards. And I just put out a brand new mock draft today. First time I've actually included trades. I tried to think a little bit outside of the box. It was funny when I was trying to do trades, the teams I wanted to trade back, the teams that I wanted to come up were in the same division. So I wanted Detroit to get out at 7 and have Chicago come up, and I'm like, well, they're not going to trade with Chicago. I wanted Philadelphia to trade back, and then I wanted Washington to come up, and I'm like, well, they're not going to do that. So it was a little interesting trying to make some of these trades, knowing they're not going to be teams are not going to trade them in the division with quarterbacks on the line.
He is one of the best out there, Ryan Holm. Thank you so much for joining us on the Full Price Raiders podcast.
Oh, thank you for having me.
This has been another episode of the Full Press Radio Podcast. Be good to yourselves. Be good to each other.